Remember, remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder, treason, and plot. I know of no reason why the gunpowder treason should ever be forgot.
Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
We live in the shadow of crime, resigned to be the victims of fear, of violence, of social impotence.
You step outside, you risk your life. You take a drink of water, you risk your life. And nowadays you breathe, and you risk your life.
The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it.
And that is why we distance ourselves. That's why we make jokes. We don't do it because it's fun. We do it so we can get by. Sometimes, because it's fun.
Your levity is good. It relieves tension and the fear of death.
Ladies and gentlemen, fellow slaves of the plantation, welcome to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's Vinnie with a Y because it's the most important question. And Eastwood, like, go ahead, make my news. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't make it fun. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinnie Eastwood Show. The only thing worse than the truth is Vinnie's jokes.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, where Vinnie almost forgets that he's got a microphone. Oh, bro. See, ladies and gentlemen, the change of seasons, everybody gets sick, right? And the season is changing now. Oh, boy, I can tell you that much, especially what would you call it? The season of the mainstream media. Mm-hmm. Doesn't that seem to be like a really nice thing? Because as soon as this big phenomenon came out, and I don't watch the media, and I don't follow other YouTubers and stuff like that, right? This is just fun for me. And quite frankly, it seems too much like work when you're actually trying to keep up with the scumbaggery that everybody else is trying to do, and it just like kind of doesn't make any sense because you can't do anything about the overarching scumbaggery by yourself per se. And that's why constantly having your head underneath the blanket of Dutch oven mainstream media is not a good idea for your brain. And so when they started going on about all fake news, I laughed my ass off and I was like, these guys calling people fake news? You gotta be fucking kidding me. Right, the hypocrisy is strong with these people, okay? They have always been on the dark side. Now, we are struggling a little bit here at the Vinnie Eastwood Show because due to the fake news phenomenon, a whole bunch of advertisers have pulled out of YouTube, and it means that videos like 9/11 was an inside job, exposing false flag terrorism, and so on and so forth, anything that's true is now being demonetized sort of en masse. So if you are really, really wanting to continue hearing any alternative views about anything, you're going to really have to start supporting all the people that are saying and espousing those views yourself and take personal responsibility for it. That's basically, I've found in my life, the only thing you can really do is find one thing that you're very sure that you can support, one person that you're very sure that you can trust, and actually just give them some support and give them your trust, right? But that's only when it comes down to individuals. When it comes to huge groups, organizations, and things like that, it's very, very hard to trust a reputation that has an enormous amount of PR campaign financing to keep the truth concealed from you. Just ask any of the myriad of trolls that say vaccination are really, really good and can't seem to produce any evidence to suggest why that is. And my very special guest today, we're going to be talking about something a little bit more positive and upbeat. It's Jeffrey Slater, and we're going to be talking about entrepreneurism. Jeffrey, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here, and I'm grateful for shows like yours that exist that challenge our thinking, because I think it's time we continue to challenge mainstream thinking so we can go back to being human.
Well, I was having a conversation with my second hour guest just before the show today, and we came to the conclusion that everything that we're currently experiencing in the general broad scope of things is contributing to the devolution of the human race, right? And I was like, whoa, that's very interesting. How do you figure that? And he goes, well, your DNA is linked to your consciousness. And it means that if you're ingesting things that aren't good for your consciousness, or ingesting things that aren't natural and aren't good for your body, that don't have DNA of your own for you to digest, then your evolution not only stops, it starts going backwards. And I was like, whoa, is that why everybody's so, like, aggressive and fucking stupid on YouTube comment sections and Facebook and all of that kind of stuff? Like, where was this coming from? Oh, the human race has been devolving for some time, and this is kind of the fruits of our labor.
Yeah, it's there's definitely an agenda for a slowdown of evolution, or perhaps stop at it. But then as I go past it, I feel that there is opportunity for us as well, which is nice. But there's definitely, without a shadow of a doubt, a shadow.
Well, and shadows need love too, as you say. Now, if you would explain that to this kind of, I don't know, the duality aspect everybody wants to talk about. How does that actually relate in terms of being an entrepreneur, being successful, and that kind of thing?
Sure, of course. And the things I share during this time, I mean, I, as sovereign beings, we all have a choice to take what I share, to either take it like or leave it. It's all good. Some of the things I share for today may not be necessarily for everyone, and I'm cool with that. And so take what they like throughout the rest. What's important is that we all check in with ourselves. If it is that feel true for you or not? And ultimately, there's no ultimate truth. In fact, there's really nobody's really in control here is what I've discovered. We're all doing the best we can. And that's actually good news. Like Terrence McKenna says, that's good news is that no one's in control, which means we're really at the mercy of, some divine plan that's beyond my comprehension and beyond many people's comprehension. And that divine plan, you know, has a divine order to it and an alchemy that's taking place. And as the shadow and the light merge together, there's an alchemy that's taking place where we go back to the singularity of ourselves. Now, where I'm coming from and how this pertains to entrepreneurism is my background has been to study for 18 years, personal development work and transformation. Having shared stages with the biggest thought leaders in the world, like Sir Richard Branson, Tony Robbins, Demartini, and all those guys, and all the, you know, Tim Ferriss, blah, blah, list goes on and on. Being on those stages with those guys and teaching transformation work about self-help and transformation work and how it applies to entrepreneurs, I've realized that I don't know shit. And being the so-called expert, you know, is really not all it's cracked up to be. And we need to transcend the expertness and go back to being totally humble and completely confident in what we're here to do. And somewhere of the paradox of that is where we reside. And my paradox is I'm not a business guy and I'm not a spiritual guy. I'm not against the system. I'm not for the system. I'm not either. But I do feel that we're building something new here. And the etymology of Armageddon is to create a new beginning. And we are at a new beginning here. And they've been led to believe that the word Armageddon means as an ending, when in fact, actually, we're at the verge of a new beginning. And there are many prophecies that exist, where, you know, like prophecies like the condor and the eagle, where this has all been prophesied. And we will get to the edge, and at that edge, we will find out really who we are. So these shadow workers are actually of great service to us by showing us who we really are. You know, to discover the truth of who we are, we need to perhaps engage the biggest liars in the universe to discover the truth of who we are so we can challenge it. And my background, and having had been in transformation work and doing this work for a long time, I've discovered, like I said, I've been humbled by the fact in deep, deep experiences in the jungles of Peru with ancient medicines like ayahuasca, wachuma, and sweat lodges, to really realizing that there's so much more to know And what there is to know, the first thing I definitely know is I don't know shit. And that's the first step to really seeing beyond the duality of this and realize that perhaps the duality is doing a good job of bringing us into the singularity. And maybe we consider our notion that there is something to fight. And if we're not careful, we'll become what we're fighting. And this is a time to actually go to our hearts. And inside of our hearts is a stargate. Now that sounds a little woo, a little out there, but through my experiences of deep work, I've discovered that, you know, I'm not just a human being. We as human beings are actually connected to, you know, the cosmos themselves. And we are not part of just the human family. We're part of the galactic family. Now that sounds a little nuts, you know, to mainstream. That's why we should sometimes turn the fucking bullshit mainstream off for a little bit, because it's bullshit. And the first area, like you said earlier, about, you said so well, which is when there's a verge of war, the truth gets threatened.
It was the first casualty of war is the truth, and the second casualty of war is innocence.
And there, while I share that there is each of our own truths, and for me, my truth and only my truth is that we are deeply connected to this earth, and we have a sacred connection as human beings to this earth. And for me, that is the truth for me, that I love her, you know, and I'll lay on my life for her, as Mother Earth. And I bet my fellow brothers and sisters would too, that are listening, if they're here. And and the truth is we love her and we are her, and we are the cosmos and everything from there. And so that sounds a little crazy to the mainstream, but you were sharing earlier how, and I really resonate with what you said, how the mainstream will make you think you're crazy for not ever having a place to talk about this stuff. When in fact, in the jungles of Peru, this is normal. Like normal conversations about, in fact, I remember I was 2 hours downriver in the jungles. Now I'm coming from a very entrepreneurial family. My father was one of the first CEOs and co-founders of Odesk, which is the largest in the space. How does a guy like me, who grew up in an extremely entrepreneurial family, you know, end up 2 hours downriver in the jungles with indigenous people, where, you know, like growing up in Silicon Valley, this is weird. So anyways, I was 2 hours downriver with these, and I got invited by these people in the jungles called the Shipibo people, and they carry a lot of the ancient wisdom. And by the way, medicine, this deep work, medicine work, ayahuasca, wachuma, and all this stuff, it's not for everybody. This is my truth. I just like it. I was like, oh, I'm kind of extreme, so I figured I'd just go on an adventure.
What works for one doesn't work for the other. I've got this saying, some people shouldn't drink, and some people shouldn't smoke weed. And fortunately, exactly, I'm neither of those people.
It's like, yeah, like you're saying, you know, for me, we just do our thing. And for me, I was like, well, I want to go 2 hours down river. And there's some friends of mine that are great shamans in the jungle. And I went 2 hours down river with these guys. And we go to their house, and I walk into their house, and there's no floors. There's just dirt on the floor. And there's, you know, they have their musical instruments, and they have their paintings, and these are some of the most reputable medicine men in the world, and they live on dirt floors. It's fine. And then they walk me, they go show me their most prized possession, and they're really excited about it. Come see this, you know, like the same way I would say, come to my house and come to the ocean, you know, come see this painting or whatever. They're like excited to take me. So they take me back behind their house. And there's this pool, and they start stomping on the dirt next to the pool, and they go, look at this, and there's a freaking fish the size of like an alligator, massive fish from the Amazon River, and I said, why do you have that fish in there? There's this pool that, and this is food for the village in case the food is this food shortage. And that's their prized possession to feed their families in case something happens. Then they walk me back in and they go, we go meet our the master teacher, their shaman, the guy that taught them everything. Now these are two extremely reputable, incredible shamans. And they want to have me meet their teacher. So then we go back and we journey through, and we go about a 5-minute walk through their village, and we end up, and I see this guy bald guy. And I look at him. I didn't like him. Like he was this person I just didn't like. I was like, I don't like that guy. And he's playing with these kids. I don't know what it was. I just didn't like him. And that's exactly who their teacher was the guy I didn't like. And what I realized in that moment was oftentimes the guys I don't like are our biggest teachers. And the things I don't like are my biggest teachers. And so I paused on my programming and just let it go. And then they were really excited to meet this guy. And so they put some mosquitoes nets up and went through an ayahuasca ceremony, and a very simple one at that. You know, we're talking just some carpets, not even carpets, some blankets and some buckets. And it's just a small ceremony, and I'm looking over across in ceremony, and I'm looking at these incredible three shamans who have a deeper connection to the earth than I do. And they have stripped away more cultural programming than I could strip away. And they have definitely gone to the original premise of who they are as human beings. And I sit there and they begin to sing and the medicine starts doing its work. And it was like I looked over and I saw three old jaguars. And I was so humbled to be in the presence of such wisdom. And then I realized that everything I knew about living, I was potentially wrong about. And I had so much more to learn. And in that moment, this man who was only about 4'5", he walked his way over to me, in front of me, and he had a big, big mapacho, also known as tobacco. And he just stood above me, and when I looked at him, he looked like freaking 15 feet tall. And he's just this small medicine man, but he's 15 feet tall. So perhaps we are bigger than we think as human beings. Perhaps there's more to us than what we see. We only see 1/10 of a billionth of the light spectrum. So perhaps just because you can't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. So perhaps we are all united by feathers, all doing our best work, all reconnecting to the Gaian mind in our own way. And each of us have our roles. And for the people listening to this, I know you have a role or you wouldn't be listening to this. And while it's useful to fight the system, perhaps we do what Buckminster Fuller says and we build something new. And so as we build something new, it's people like Vinny here and these types of shows that do this work so that we can consider new opportunities and new ways of thinking, which has been lost in the clouds and the programming of the old collective programming, which is slavery programming. It's time we reconnect to our sovereign beingness as interdimensional beings, a part of the galactic family, not just the human family. And perhaps we can all remember that we're united by feathers. And as crazy as this sounds, I'll go back to how this pertains to pertains to entrepreneurism. Is one of my I was a little bored one day. I was spending time with a friend of mine. I said, "What would be the craziest thing to do in the world?" And I said, "Well, you know, it'd be really fun." I said, "I want to see there's 1,600 or so billionaires on this planet." And I want to see what it would be like to take them and put them in the room with some of these medicine women. And I want to go through and I want to make it my life to try and get as many of them as possible to drink medicine and provide an ancient wisdom and connect with that ancient wisdom. And maybe we can bring more empathy to this world. And so while I teach and train all over the world, one of the things I love to do is, and I fund it. This is not a money thing for me at all. This is like, if we don't do something on this planet, we're fucked. And we have work to do. And that work is to go back to who we are as human beings. And so I know that if these leaders of these companies, and there are good ones out there, they're not all bad. These leaders of these companies, if they can reconnect to their Gaian mind and develop empathy for themselves again, then they know that the things they build and the companies of the future that they build will become and recognize that if they hurt anything around them, they are only hurting themselves. And when they have that, not that knowledge, but that gnosis and that direct experience, and they will get those experiences in the jungles, when they have those experiences, they can't hurt the things around them. So that's my rant.
That would be an interesting take on things if you – because what did you say? 1,600 billionaires worldwide. And recently a German banker came out and he said that there's an elite that control the world and there's 1,800 of them and not all of them.
I didn't know that. It's super interesting. I know it's not the billionaires that control the world either. The ones we know are not the ones.
It's kind of like, I saw an Oxfam study that said that 2/3 of billionaires that exist on the world today either inherited their wealth or made their wealth in industries that are known to be full of corruption. So that means that there's 1/3 of billionaires who are probably just really decent people who are very good at what they do, right?
You know, I've met some great ones and some real shitty ones. And the ones I have a lot of respect for, the ones that have done some deep work on themselves, and I've, you know, seen them do the work, and massive respect to them because they have a lot more to lose, you know, on the physical, for the reputation and for doing the work, and it's not easy. And there are some serious psychopaths.
Yeah. They would probably be the ones with the distinct evolutionary advantage over the non-psychopathic billionaires. Am I right?
Yeah, I agree. And while I say that the ones that evolutionary advantage, it's like they can play with time. But you see, when we remember who we are as interdimensional beings, then perhaps we hold the keys and we forgot.
Well, I was thinking about this as well in terms of higher consciousness and how it actually affects you, right? Can you get a dose of that consciousness and can it change your perspective on reality? Absolutely. Shaman do it all the time. And I was talking to my mate Mike about this, and we talked about higher consciousness, and that the vast majority, if not all, the great shamans who actually have access to higher consciousness didn't do it through meditation. They did it through the natural medicines that actually exist on this earth that are supposed to unlock this potential. Now, that's quite interesting because a lot of people do talk about meditation as being an important thing. It's a great stress reliever. You can connect it to other sorts of things. But it is not a shortcut, all right? The drugs are the shortcut, and that's why they're illegal.
Of course. I can share with you, since I've been 20 years old, I've been meditating daily. I'm 36, so I'm 37 now. So the thing is I have experience in that. I've also done, never even drank in my life. I haven't even done a synthetic drug in my life. So peer pressure is not really my thing, and it doesn't make me any better or whatever. I'm just saying that if I was going to succumb to peer pressure, I would have by now, and around those areas of drugs or alcohol. And so for me, I really felt this inner calling in my meditation to go deeper. And I'm grateful for the plants and the ancient wisdom because they supported that journey. And my meditation practice is actually really useful in those journeys. And I'm grateful for that. But I can tell you the difference from having 18 years of meditation and plant medicine. And the difference in the two is this. And Terence McKenna says it quite well. He says, when you're meditating, you sit in your posture and it's like your foot's on the gas. I'm going to find some inner peace. Okay, here we go. Come on, let's find some inner peace. And that's what I experienced too. Is like, let's go find some inner peace. All right, there we go. And you might get a moment of it. When we're sitting and working with some of these ancient medicines and with the proper shaman, and you must be in the right space. It's really important because if you're not, you know, it's kind of a mess. My foot's on the brakes. More so, my foot is actually on the brakes. It's like, holy crap, there's just so much peace and so much connection and so much stuff I gotta deal with. My feet are on the brakes. So meditation's great, but foot's on the gas. Deep medicine work, you know, from ayahuasca to Sonora Desert Toad, your foot's on the brakes. And it bypasses the intellect so that the intellect can become in service of the heart. And it's very, very useful. We're the only species that doesn't actually naturally get attracted to these things. You know, deers do it. So many animals change their consciousness. People should look up Graham Hancock as well, a researcher. These ancient medicines and these ancient technologies have been around for thousands of years. It's only the last couple hundred years or so that we're especially when the churches started coming in and all this stuff is – like those ages is when all this stuff became a problem.
Yeah. And it's about the promotion of essentially self-awareness, right? How I fit into the universe, which is a very, very difficult thing for people to kind of grasp, I think. I mean, I was just like thinking about it one day, how do I fit in the universe? Well, if you look inside a cell, you realize it's made up of all these other cells. And if you look inside those ones, they're made up of all these other ones. You look inside those and so on and so forth. Well, if we look upwards, if you look inside, if you look at the Earth and consider that it's the same shape more or less as a cell with a toroidal energy field, and then you look up the scale again, you look at the galaxy that we're in that has the more or less the same form, then you look up the scale again with red dwarf star clusters, which are infinitely bigger than galaxies, and so on and so forth. So you go, well, there's infinite life upon life, infinitely up the scale and infinitely down the scale, so where do I fit in, you know? And it's like, well, I'm Vinnie Eastwood. Out of all the infinite trillions upon quadrillions of organisms, galaxies, and so on and so forth that I could be, I'm a self-aware human being that has the chance to contemplate the nature of the universe. That's pretty fucking cool, isn't it?
It makes me
value my existence in and of itself. And furthermore, it means that everything that I do, every action that I take, not only affects all the cells within my body and all the cells within cells infinitely down the scale, but I also contribute to the overall energy of the one cell that I'm living on, which is the Earth, which then goes on to affect the galaxy. So it means that every single action of our stupid little lives affects the entire universe.
Yes, exactly. And as above, so below. So the work we're here, all of us are doing, whether no matter how small we think it is or how big it is very, very important.
And I wanted to talk about negativity, right? Because that's basically, click on this. It's something that'll make you angry. And everybody clicks on it. Click on this. It's something that'll make you really outrageously upset. And everybody clicks on it. Click on this. It'll help you achieve higher consciousness and a better phrase on how you fit into the universe. Nobody clicks on it.
Oh, I love humanity. We're awesome.
You know, so like, how do you work through that negativity, right? If you're surrounded by it and you're essentially overflowing, right?
Well, they say that negativity or pain is actually creative energy, birthing something. So, you know, like if a woman is giving birth, there's a lot of pain for her giving birth. And through that pain, something new is born. And so maybe right now with all that negative energy and all that negative focus, it's actually creative energy masking as negative energy. And we'll transcend that and birth something new. And I feel that now it's time to look at what we're birthing. While that negativity was useful, now potentially it's time to look at what we're birthing. And perhaps we're birthing a new reality, something new to live in, because we've all had enough. The salt of this Western world and the Western mainstream thinking is losing its savor. And it's no longer tasting that good anymore. While if you know, 15 years ago with me, certain things would get me more excited, you know, than they do now. It's like I get more excited about a gift that someone sends me from the Amazon than I do about a new car. It's like something's changing in me. And you know what I'm noticing with the high-performing entrepreneurs as well is their acquisitions at 100 million plus or 50 million, they're not excited by that anymore. They're more excited that they can spend time with their children, and they're more excited by a new song or spending time with somebody that they really enjoy. People are changing all over the world. And how do I know this? Why do I have this proof? Because I'm in front of millions of people, and I'm seeing the changes. I'm seeing the level of depth of conversations get deeper and deeper, but I'm also noticing a split where it's like people are getting totally either switched off, like where the fuck did you go, to absolutely switched on. It's like there's no mid-ground anymore. So there's a splitting going on. And if you look at the work of Dolores Cannon, who studies past lives, it's like another layer on top of this layer is happening.
Well, it's – if you're talking about above, so below, right? What is it that entrepreneurs and billionaires have got sorted out that the rest of us don't?
You know, it's a good thing. The only thing they have sorted out is they know how to materialize and kind of malleate a reality a little more. Now, that's in this dimension. But you see, I was just talking to a woman that did just today, 1,000 ayahuasca ceremonies. She wrote the article, "Why I Quit Drinking Ayahuasca After 1,000 Ayahuasca Ceremonies." Now, that is for 10 years. That is like being on ayahuasca and deep work. She apprentices, every 3 days. Like, that's some serious work. And this is a normal woman who had a normal job and had a success, and she just decided that she'd do that. Now, she quit because she felt that she had a deep connection. Next of service for her was to help people integrate it. You know, it wasn't like bad ayahuasca. Actually, she has a sacred connection to it. But what she said was pretty interesting today. What she said was that we really are entering an age right now where the people who have made things happen in this world, when they go do deep work like that, to strip, they actually have a lot more to lose than someone who doesn't like this world. So the people that go into the jungles and do deep inner work, then they're like, they're letting go of, you know, they're like, oh, well, this place fucking sucks. I'm just going to go inward into myself, as if it's another place to go. Whereas people who make things happen, they so-called have a lot to lose. And what we actually need right now is the people who know how to make things happen, that can materialize things, and they can do deep inner work and bring that stuff back. So what's the freaking point of doing a whole lot of journeys and deep inner work and spiritual work if you bring nothing back? So now it's not about how much medicine you drink. It's not about how much deep work you do. It's about what you bring back. And, you know, we all have something to bring back. And so I challenge everyone here to do deep work and bring something back. For me, what I'm bringing back is this. I'm speaking about the unspeakable. Vinny, you're speaking about the stuff that's unspeakable. We're all doing our part. But please bring something back.
I feel it's difficult as well, kind of contributing, right? I was thinking about this. If a farmer went around planting seeds and just hoping that they grow, like a conspiracy theorist does, he'd be out of work very quickly, you know, because you've actually got to water the seed. You've got to make sure it's got the sunlight and all of that sort of stuff. You actually really have to do some work.
Yeah.
But here I've been throwing seeds to the wind like Johnny Appleseed, essentially, just hoping that some apple trees and some good fruit grows, and I just keep walking across the land, and I don't actually sit back to see what it is that I've achieved. And I think maybe if I did sit back and look at what I've achieved, I'd feel like I'd achieve quite a lot and be less motivated to achieve more.
You know, and that's good, because a lot of us, as people listening, I think we could take a moment and say, for a second, pause, because we're always trying to make things better, when in fact, maybe we need to be acknowledged for all the work we've done and all the hard work, and look at, actually, if it wasn't for people sharing, you know, stuff beyond the mainstream and the cultural programming, imagine how much less human this world would be. And, you know, it'd be Blade Runner by now. And so if there's any chance for us, we need to, if we want to bring more appreciation to this world, perhaps we appreciate all the work we've done and all the seeds we have planted, because I know that we're all a little tired, but yet we're still very strong. And so I acknowledge everyone's tiredness right now, but please stay strong, and you are strong. And you wouldn't be so tired if you weren't so strong. And what we need to reflect back and take a look and almost bow down with respect and honor to each one of us for doing our part, because, fuck, this is hard.
And that fear of failure, and what's another interesting thing is that the people who have a fear of failure often have a fear of achievement, because then you've actually got an obligation on your actions. You know, you've actually got to do something now. Ha ha, you can't just sit back and be an armchair critiquer of everybody else's creative work. You actually have to create your own work. And I noticed this phenomenon, or at least let me just see if I can personify this. Look at all the YouTube channels now that have got millions of subscribers, hundreds of thousands of hits per video, and the only thing that they do is make videos about other people's videos. Right? The only thing that they do. They don't come up with anything creative. They merely critique what other people have already done. Now, what's interesting about that is you'd think, oh, that's not very productive or anything like that. But what these, glorified God King nerds have actually accomplished is a real visceral effect on the Hollywood machine. And the Hollywood machine is actually now seeing all these people making all these critiques and everything like that, and a lot of them actually listen to what these guys are saying and change their movies based upon what a bunch of people on YouTube say about movies. Right? Now, that's very interesting, isn't it? Although you think you're not contributing, if you're doing something, anything, you are contributing, and there's all these little unforeseen side effects that'll happen as a result of you doing something. And people go, well, I just don't want to do that. It's too much responsibility. It's too much responsibility. Look, if you take responsibility just for what you're doing, don't worry about the side effects. Don't worry about the various peelings, layers of the onion, and so on and so forth. That's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to see what you've got inside your head and what you feel inside your heart and will it into the three-dimensional universe so that other people can see it and hear it and feel it too, isn't it?
Yeah, that's our job.
Yeah.
Ideas are worthless without execution, and I really feel that it's time we bring the intangible world to this tangible world and we honor the physical as much as we honor the non-physical, because all of this is sacred. You know, even I was just sharing this morning that, you know, our companies are sacred as well, and it's a spiritual journey. Your radio show is a spiritual journey. You know, the path of sharing this knowledge is a spiritual journey. Everyone's job, quote, job, is a spiritual journey. The question is, who will you become along your journey? And that's our soul's journey, and nothing matters more than our soul's journey. And ultimately, We've reached a place now for each of us where we must come to the point of awareness where we'd rather have the whole world against us than our own soul. And ultimately we are at that point where we have to do what's right for our own soul's journey every single moment. There's no this is right, this is wrong anymore. There's only what is right for your soul's journey and true for you in this moment. And so what's true for me in this moment is to share this importance of the ancient wisdom for modern times and the importance of self-awareness and how it is directly impacting the people that make things happen in the world so that we can have a greater leverage on this planet.
Now, something psychopaths and narcissists don't have an overabundance is self-awareness. All right. And
yes.
you go look at that sort of scale of who's the worst of the worst. And who's the best of the best? And the best of the best people that you'll always meet, or at least the best that I've always met, are people who know themselves very well. And the worst people are the ones who don't know anything about themselves. I mean, they think they do, and they lie to themselves all the time on a constant and consistent basis. Because accepting that you are not perfect is very, very hard for the psychopathic mindset to do, because it feels that it already is perfect. It's already the perfect predator. I don't need to work on myself. But, bro, you're a scumbag. What is that the pinnacle of your achievements right here? You know, you've adopted the entire archetype and portents of scumbaggery. And you're just going to leave it like that and just keep going along? Okay. I'm going to move over this way now.
You know, a good question to challenge people is, best question I ever asked is, someone asked me was, do I lie to myself? And the answer was yes. And if someone says, no, I don't, I never would, I'm kind of concerned about that person. So the answer was yes, I lie to myself. And I do a lot, and I have to be very careful with it because it keeps me discerning within myself. And I was lying to myself about what success is. I was lying to myself about what so-called achievement was. Lying to myself about how important I was in this world, and how lying to myself about that I need to save the world as well. The world doesn't need saving. The world's saving us. you know, so much I was lying to myself about. So, and ultimately that led me to down the path of a more truthful existence with myself so I could be more in alignment with my own soul's journey. And one thing was I really wanted the approval of others. I really wanted everyone to like me and to agree with what I have to share. And what I realized was I was lying to myself about that. What I really wanted to do was prove my significance as a human being. When really, because I felt I wasn't significant, but when I strip that down and go back to beyond my identity, I'm super significant and super insignificant at the same time. Totally confident and totally humble at exactly the same time. That's where that fine line of singularity is. I guess that's called like a red road, you know? Walking that road, that fine line of truth for ourselves. And this is when the truth doesn't give a shit about what my opinion is or anyone else's opinion. It just is what it is, and people have reactions to it or don't. And so I'm just here to live my truth, and I ask my brothers and sisters to live theirs, and that's all we can do right now. But if we live our truth, and we then, as human beings, what I trust is we all have a connection to this earth, and we all made the same substance. And ultimately, these psychopathic tendencies will get rooted out of this human existence.
Now, this phrase, nobody cares, I say that to myself reasonably regularly, you know, and I'm just like, why do I keep doing that? Because I notice every time I say it, it makes me feel sadder and makes me feel less motivated to continue my work because nobody cares, right? And then I think it might have been this morning, actually, had a realization, oh, my God, it's not that nobody cares. It's that I don't give a fuck whether or not that they do. That's the truth. All right? And that actually kind of – it made me happy and sad simultaneously. Mm. And that was what told me that it was true, right?
Yes.
Most of the things that are very, very truthful in life are often on a level playing field of complete contradiction.
Totally. You know, you nailed it. I'm going to highlight that spot for you because I was in Mexico a little while ago. I don't know, 10 months ago or something. But I did this medicine called the Sonora Desert Toad, which is 5 times more psychedelic than ayahuasca. And it is completely annihilates all identity. It is the singularity. And it's incredible. And it, of course, ayahuasca is still the mother, but I got to say that this one was hardcore. And I was terrified of it. And what I learned in that through that, because we were doing this medicine, we were testing EKGs, and we were seeing if we were doing some science as well, like testing it to see if actually we come back with balanced left and right hemispheres. So, and we did actually. It was quite incredible. And it's a very sacred medicine. Not everyone should jump into it. It's not for everybody. I just have to say that for a second. But essentially what happened was, since it's such a powerful natural, it is the most powerful natural psychedelic in the planet, it will take you straight to the singularity in its proper deep dive with the right shaman. And what I experienced in that moment was true transformation, was absolute terror, terror beyond anything I can ever experience, terror beyond my comprehension. And at the same exact time, the contradiction, bliss beyond my comprehension, both firing off at exactly the same time. And then that's when the duality came together, and the singularity and the implosion in itself existed. And inside of that implosion was the ultimate truth, which I have no language for, which is exactly what you just shared, which is a total exact equal opposites of the two, which is completely true and false at the same time, exactly the same, and completely positive and negative. And that was the, and I don't have any other way to explain it, is except for you nailed it.
Yeah, thank you. I like to say history makes hypocrites of us all.
It's really – history is a weird thing, man.
I always look back on this and you go, who are these great men and so on and so forth that you're inspired? And like, for example, Bill Hicks was somebody who really inspired me. And then I go and watch a whole bunch of documentaries and a whole bunch of videos and things of that where he's berating the audience, where he's really angry and so on and so forth. And I'm like, oh my God. that was what I was going through when I was waking up to the truth about things.
Mm.
You go through this massive grief process and anger and bargaining and depression, and it's all part of it. And I saw that when you're going through your grief process in the public eye, it makes it even harder to go through because you – listening to other people's opinions about you and about your journey while you're going through it before you've even finished it, right?
Totally.
And that's inherently frustrating.
Very. I've dealt with the same thing. I totally hear you. It's not easy at all.
And what's problematic about this is that, you know, you've got your own journey, but there are those of us that are kind of – grandiose, basically narcissism, right? I'm a narcissist. I understand. But fortunately, I'm on the benign spectrum, so I'm not evil like some of them are. So what became really difficult for me to kind of master, I think, was the acceptance of my flaws, the acceptance of my parents' flaws that actually caused these flaws in me, and a willingness to not only live with them, but intellectually figure out all these little roadblocks that I can put in my way to make sure that I don't become the evil narcissist that I hope that I don't become, and that I don't pass that bullshit on to my children, that which hopefully will be arriving shortly.
You know, perhaps we as human beings, just a theory, is consider that we've had other lives. You know, like, we've all been around for a while, especially if we want peace on this planet, that we might have at one point been another life, been the evil narcissist. We might have other lives been those people or those beings that today we look at and we're confused by and we are pity. But if we realize we've been them in our cosmic journey, then we can love them for what they are and what they're not, and then we can transcend them. So while, you know, it's like I used to play with G.I. Joes when I was very young. You know, pew, 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 pew. I'm not interested in war anymore. It's like, you know, a massive respect to the soldiers out there, but I've had soldiers in my rooms, literally I've had soldiers in my rooms sobbing because they killed somebody. Sobbing. They have nowhere else to go, and they say – and they are so upset about it. And so, because all they did was want to protect their brothers and sisters, that was their intention. But then they realize and they know that some of them, they feel used by the banking, by the evil bankers. Not all bankers are evil, just to be clear. But I'm just saying that they were used for an agenda and their lives were used and their souls were used. And it's very sad for them. But perhaps what they can realize, and all of us can realize, is that if we look at our other lives, we have been the biggest oppressors, we've been the biggest peacemakers. And when we know that about our journeys and our lives, we no longer fear the oppressors. We know we have been them and we can look them dead in the eye and we can say, and we can not be afraid of them anymore.
The damaged people in our society are the only ones who figure out that there's something wrong with it and try to change it so that they can help other people to prevent them actually experiencing the same pain that they did. Right?
Yeah.
Like, I got arrested for cannabis. I got fired from my job for doing it better than the boss. And so now this is what I'm doing. You know, it's
fuel to their fire.
Yeah. Now I'm not sure if it's just a kind of fuck you sort of thing that went through my head or if it's actually a modicum of altruism, right? Cause I get very upset when people are cunts. And so naturally I get upset a lot because there's quite a lot of cunts. And what I find difficult is getting up to that realization point of this is my life. This is what its intrinsic value is. And when somebody poo-poos me or puts me down or something of that nature, trying to not have a chemical reaction in my brain that makes me want to, shall we say, hooting that person back becomes a higher priority than just continuing to help people.
Mm. Yeah, and that's always the challenge that we deal with is in this work when we're out there sharing things that are so-called, quote, controversial, is how do we react? And we only have our choice in that moment. There's a quote that says, no one can make us sad. And no one can make us happy, right? So that's good news is we ultimately are responsible for how we choose to act. And every single moment we have a choice. And it's not bad if we choose to fire back at them. It's not good or bad. But ultimately, what matters is what our soul journey is. And you wouldn't be so upset, and we wouldn't be so upset if we didn't care so much. Like everyone who's listening, we want a world that works, and we care, and so we get upset. And so instead of getting upset that we get upset, perhaps we look at the fact that we get upset means we care. And what I've learned in deep medicine journeys in men's ceremonies specifically was that I was programmed as a man that the fact that I care makes me weak. And the fact that, if a tear drops out of my eye, then I'm a weak man, or I should man up, bunch of crap. What I've seen is some of the most connected men on the planet, connected to the earth, hardcore warriors, men, like those guys care. They care about the earth and they are warriors. And the fact that they care is their biggest strength. So instead of getting upset, recognize, I'm so glad that you care, because we are lacking a world of strength of men actually that care. And until we join together and create camaraderie again, which is lacking, then we will not reestablish the brotherhood that is needed so that we can stop the oppression. And we can literally dissolve the synthetic masculine dominant society that exists today, which is a warmongering, fearmongering bullshit, which is really just a bunch of children that are afraid of achievement, afraid of the golden age, afraid of peace, because we are ready for peace. And it's just a matter of us starting with ourselves. It's time to have peace in our hearts, and it begins with each one of us.
Well, that's how it works. Essentially, we are a virus, I think, at a large degree. And how a virus works is, it's surprisingly, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find this very interesting, considering the fractal nature of our universe. That a virus looks like a spaceship.
Really?
Yeah. It's got a little hexagonal life pod at the bottom, and little legs that stick down, and an injector in the middle. So it lands on the cell, injects itself into the cell, and then replicates, and then the cell explodes, and then it sends out, and that's how it infects the body and gets into it. And I was just like, far out. That's how everything works, isn't it? All the things that are actually causing destruction and disorder and chaos, more or less, internally or externally, usually something that came from over there and is now implanting itself in a place where it doesn't belong.
And it didn't give any permission, and there's no permission. Yep.
Yeah. And we simply allowed it because we, what was it? The price of freedom is eternal vigilance. The price of health is also eternal vigilance, isn't it? Right.
Yeah.
If your body had enough nutrients and so on and so forth, you wouldn't be able to get infected by the virus. And I think the same is true of our societies and our mind. There's an old saying that's relevant to evil in particular. You can't walk into a room that is full of light and bring the darkness, but you can walk into a room that's completely dark and fill it full of light. And that's an encouraging thought. I think we have a crisis of faith, right? And the faith in humankind, faith in religion, faith in God, whatever it is, I think it's misplaced largely. And even having faith in ourselves should also be coupled with the equal amount of ironic doubt. Because if you had too much faith in yourself and didn't accept anybody questioning you or telling you that you're a fucking psychopath, then you probably keep being one, right? Yeah. It's like Robert Anton Wilson said about the cosmic schmuck. If you wake up once a month and think to yourself, am I being the cosmic schmuck? Then you probably won't become one.
It's so good. That's why having good people around us to keep us in check is really, really important.
All right, Jeff Slater, thank you very much for joining me on the show today. That was a very, very interesting and uplifting conversation, wasn't it, bro? Yeah,
it was really good. Good to be on. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for the work you do. And people should, and for everyone here, contribute to keep your show going to support this work. It's needed. Otherwise, we're going to have more BS news.
Oh, well, that's pretty much guaranteed anyway. But thank you very much, Jeff.
You're welcome. I appreciate
that, Vinny. Cheers, brother. Have a lovely day.
You too, man. Bye.
Okay, now we'll be back next hour, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you go anywhere. Broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
I like very much
radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
And I hope people support American Freedom Radio. And I hope people vote with their dollars and really understand the value of having American Freedom Radio. Because that's my family. If you love me at all, Jack Blood, support American Freedom Radio. Like, my family has literally disowned me in American Freedom Radio. Danny and Don and those guys, those are my actual family. So please, please support these guys because they have all the technology. They have all these great things that they're going to do, but obviously they can't do it all by themselves. So not only would I like to see you support them, I'd like to see you retweet them and repost them and really get involved and get on the bandwagon, so to speak, on doing that do-it-yourself promotion because they're a do-it-yourself radio network and we just need that so much.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org. HempUSA.org introduces 3 brand new detox formulations of micro plant powder. Brain Fuel for depression, bipolar disorders, and stress. Total Care, anti-cancer agent that cleans the liver and organs and increases memory. Rejuvenate, invigorates and heals the body, mind, and spirit. These products are your alternative to pharmaceuticals. Call 888-910-4367 and like us on Facebook. We ship worldwide. Only at HempUSA.org.
The world is like a ride at an amusement park, and when you choose to go on it, you think it's real, because that's how powerful our minds are. And the ride goes up and down and round and round. It has thrills and chills, and it's very brightly colored, and it's very loud, and it's fun for a while. Some people have been on the ride for a long time, and they begin to question, is this real, or is this just a ride? And other people have remembered, and they come back to us, and they say, hey, don't worry, don't be afraid, ever, because this is just a ride, and we kill those people. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not one human being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever in peace.
What has American Freedom Radio ever done for us?
Provide us for free education?
Well, that's obviously effective, but apart from reversing the dumbing down of America...
All the information they provide is free?
What about the free podium for broadcast activists to speak from, then?
Exploiting commonplace corruption?
They help vulnerable people who don't have a voice?
Bringing light to important information nobody else does. Well, they never sent Sirhang up or cut off their guests.
Well, that's no fun, is it?
Oh, they created a fantastic alternative media source during an era of bad, manipulative, and infiltrated mainstream and alternative media shills and scum.
Okay, well, apart from the free education, free information, free podium for broadcast activists to speak from, exposing commonplace corruption, helping vulnerable people without a voice, bringing light to important information nobody else does, and creating a fantastic commercial-free alternative media source in a sea of bad, manipulative mainstream and alternative media shills and scum, what has American Freedom Radio ever done for us?
Donate to American Freedom Radio today.
No rules, no rules, no taboo topics, no taboo topics, no fear of doom, no fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio, American Freedom Radio.